Thank you. Good afternoon. As Ben said, my name's James. I'm obviously part of the youth here. And I'm 16 years old, which means, unfortunately, I'm a bit too young to run the half marathon this morning. Can I get a show of hands who ran the half marathon this morning? I know Sean did. Yeah, well done. So a little bit about me. I love running. I've been running for years, and I'm currently part of Reading Athletics Club. So I'm really looking forward to being able to run the half marathon next year when I'm 17. I'll be old enough. And with the half marathon this morning, I thought, what better thing to talk about than running the race, as Ben said. So we're going to be looking at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul uses the analogy of running the race. And it's an analogy he uses several times, but this one at the end of 1 Corinthians is probably the most explicit, the most detailed. But yeah, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, and I'll be reading from the NLT version. "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So we're going to look at this verse by verse and explore what it means to run the race. So verse 24, "Don't you realize in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." So in Paul's analogy of running the race, we are all the runners, and this race that we're running is the race of life. But it's not quite as simple as a normal race. See, in the half marathon this morning, everyone started in the same place, they ran the same route through the same course, they had the same people cheering them on, I hope nobody was booing, and they finished in the same place. So it was all the same, but our lives are slightly different. We've all been on different journeys, we're probably all at different stages of our lives. But ultimately, we are all running this race of life together. And just like a race, just like the half marathon, this race has a prize as well, as Paul says. But unlike a race, because Jesus already ran the perfect race, he already lived the perfect life, this prize is already won for us. And this prize is eternal life with him. And when we finish this race, Jesus will be waiting, ready to give us this prize that we could never earn ourselves. So if we've already won the prize, how do we run the race? Well, verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training, and they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now, one athlete I know who's disciplined in his training is Eliud Kipchoge. And I think, is there a picture of him on the screen? There he is. For those of you who don't know who Eliud Kipchoge is, he is arguably the greatest marathon runner of all time. One of my favorite athletes ever, and he's run a sub 2-hour marathon. I don't know if anyone watched that, and if that doesn't really mean anything to you, I could probably count on one hand the number of people in this room that would keep up for 5 minutes, and I'd still have fingers left. But why am I talking about Kipchoge? Well, clearly, he's an athlete that has had to, and still does have to, he's going to be running at the Olympics this year, he has to persevere, and he has to be disciplined in his training. But more than this, according to Wikipedia, and here's where I should probably make some comment about how Wikipedia is not very trustworthy, but despite that, we still all use Wikipedia, right? According to Wikipedia, Kipchoge is a devout Christian as well. So I would think that despite his Olympic gold medals, his marathon titles, his world records, it's probably not his favorite prize, because they're prizes that fade away. And we've got an eternal prize found in Jesus. But looking at Kipchoge's training schedule, it's hard to imagine that he could be disciplined spiritually more than he's disciplined physically. But maybe he is, I don't know. But Paul says we ought to be like athletes. We ought to be like Kipchoge, disciplined in our training, in our spiritual training as well as our physical. Yeah. And this means training ourselves to lead godly lives, training ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, but also training each other to be leading godly lives, as Sean might say, to be disciples who are making disciples of each other. But this is difficult. If you think training for the half marathon this morning would have been hard, you need a lot more perseverance to train your body and your spirit together. But this is not a one-time race. It's not a once-a-year half marathon that we're running. But it's a constant race of life, which we're training for as we go. But don't forget, we're all running this race together, which is funny because you're all sat down. But as we're running this race, we can be encouraging one another to persevere on towards the prize. So moving on to verse 26, it says, "So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing." And this verse is one of the main reasons that I chose the NLT version, because lots of the other, in fact, almost every other version says, "I don't run like somebody running aimlessly. I don't run with uncertainty." But the NLT, it doesn't tell us how not to run. It tells us that we should run with purpose. And everyone who ran the half marathon this morning, I think there was 10,000 entrants. I don't think that many finished, but everyone ran with purpose this morning. And maybe that was to prove that they could run 13 miles. Maybe that was to aim for time and see if they could go under 2 hours. Or maybe purely for enjoyment, though that might be a foreign concept to some people. But more importantly than the half marathon, what is our purpose in life? Why do we live the way that we do? Well, I think our purpose is to be living with the knowledge that God offers us eternal life. And what does it mean to live with that knowledge? Well, I don't think our purpose should be to sit with our feet up, wait till we die, and then off we go to heaven. We ought to be trying to get closer to God and closer relationship with him. Because I think as well as just being in heaven, and I'm not belittling eternal life, I can't really fathom it, but as well as heaven, this is our true prize. This is the reason that we have heaven, is to restore that relationship with God. Yes. And so as well as ourselves and having that relationship with God, we also ought to be sharing that relationship of God with others. We ought to be trying to be an example of God's love to others. And as we're about to read in verse 27, we can share this prize with others by being that example. And so verse 27, it says this, "I discipline my body like an athlete," again, "training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So Paul here, he repeats this idea that we should persevere in being disciplined. You could almost say he's persevering and trying to get his point across. But why is he saying that we ought to persevere? Well, his point is that we ought to be trying to live our lives consistently with what we believe in. If we believe that we're running this race, if we believe that Jesus has already won, then our purpose should be trying to live lives like Jesus. And for Paul, preaching is one of the main ways that he does this, that he tried to be like Jesus, and it was one of the key reasons for him to keep persevering and being disciplined. But not everyone's called to travel halfway across the world spreading the gospel, but to live consistently with our beliefs and consistently with what we believe Jesus has already done, we should persevere in discipline in our private lives. And then with that perseverance and with time in our private lives, fruits will begin to show and they will begin to become apparent to the people around us. And when they do, not if, but when those fruits show, it's almost like preaching to others because it's showing them that we have been changed by our lives and by our faith. But this is just one way that we can share the prize. Obviously, you can travel halfway around the world spreading the gospel, but the funny sort of upside down thing is, if we share this prize with other people, it doesn't diminish like a material prize, like prizes that fade away, for example, money. Right? If you share money, you're going to have less of it. But if anything, if we share our prize, this knowledge of an eternal life and a relationship with God, it brings us closer to God. It almost, in a sense, increases that prize if we're sharing it. And also, I don't know about you, but running a race with lots of other people, those of you who did the half marathon this morning probably tell me, running a race with so many other people is so much easier. You run quicker, it just feels like it's going by so much quicker and it's a lot easier. And so the more people we have running this race with us, the better. And as Rachel's about to come and share, we're not by ourselves in this race. We have God with us in this race, helping us. And so in a one sentence mini summary, it's probably going to sound super cheesy, but hopefully it means you'll all remember. We can be preaching to other people by persevering in running the race with purpose towards the prize of eternal life.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rachel, for those who don't know me. And I've been coming to RFC, well, my whole life. Well, with Scott as my dad and Bea as my mum. But that's enough about me. Let's focus on why we're really here. God. So I'm going to be continuing on from James's talk and focusing on God's strength. Nowadays, people my age, younger or older, often think that we are invincible. We have our whole lives ahead of us. We live life thinking that no one can bring us down. We depend on our own strength and always expect to succeed. So we may even think we can run a half marathon without any training. But I don't know about you, but it's definitely not true. Just ask my parents, they'll tell you. As Christians, we need to learn to not just rely on our own strength, but on God's strength. So I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 40, verses 26 to 31. So let's read the passage. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So let's break down the passage. The first two verses start by declaring God's greatness and power. Isaiah reflects on how God named all the stars, one by one, not forgetting any of them. Just as God commands the stars in the sky, God knows each and every one of us personally and our struggles. But it goes on to say that the people of Israel are trying to deny God's strength, power, and love for his people. They are trying to solve their problems with their own strength, without the presence of God, because they think that their strength is more powerful than God. However, they knew they needed God, but they didn't want to admit it, so they just blamed God. But how easy can it be for us to just blame Jesus in our lives instead of surrendering it to him? The next few verses talk about how amazing God is. He has this love and power that we as humans cannot physically comprehend. God never, ever loses his strength. He is a constant. He is the Alpha and Omega. As verse 28 says, he will never grow weak or weary. We can rely on God through our struggles, and he won't feel the burden. He is always there. God is everlasting. He is so much bigger and more powerful than the struggles that we stumble upon whilst running the race for him. We don't need to rely on our own strength, but rely on God's spiritual wisdom. Isaiah then goes on to say that God provides to those who lack strength and power. We, as Christians, may feel weak and powerless running the race for Jesus, but we always have God by our side, willing to pick us up if we fall down and give us strength to pursue him. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul says, "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we feel that we are powerless in ourselves, we are to go to Jesus to receive strength from him. But those who are proud and confident in their own wisdom and strength will receive no strength from God. The final two verses is where it lands for us. Verse 30 starts by saying, "Even youths and young men will become weak and exhausted." Now, we as humans seem to always want to be the best, whether it's at your job, at your sport, or at the subject at school. We want that validation from others. We exhaust ourselves trying to get better and to perfect our skills. We hope that being the best is going to fulfill us. But in reality, you can always improve. You are never going to be the best. It will always seem that someone's above you. We use all that energy and strength trying to improve ourselves that we fall to the ground in exhaustion. But as Isaiah writes in the next verse, but those who trust in the Lord will find their new strength. Amen. As Christians, we need to trust God's plan for our situations in order to keep running. In society, we see being weak as a bad thing. It's something to be ashamed of. It's looked down upon. But in God's eyes, being weak is an advantage or a blessing. Being weak shows that we can't just rely on our own knowledge, strength, and wisdom, but we need God's grace, power, and love. When we trust in God, he will give us the strength to keep on running, not our own strength. Without God leading us, we won't be able to persevere in our race for Jesus. For again, when we are weak, God is made strong.
As followers of Jesus, we face challenges and hurdles. But despite these challenges, we've been called into freedom, and it's through Jesus that we can run freely. And this is what we'll be going through in the next 10 minutes. So I'm just going to pray, and then we can start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the freedom that you've called us into. I thank you that you give us encouragement, you give us strength, you help us to keep going, and you bring us to the truth. Thank you for your word, God. Amen. Cool. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 says, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. So to give a little context on the passage, when it talks about Galatians, it's referring to churches in the region of Galatia, which is an area in our modern-day Turkey. The churches were formed of people, new Christians, from a non-Jewish background. So when it says you were running the race so well. The writer's referring these comments to churches, to people in Galatia. So who was this writer then? It was a guy called Paul who basically traveled around telling people about Jesus and the good news of the gospel. It's important for us to know that Paul was a disciple who made disciples. And Galatia was one of the people, the regions that he traveled to. So looking at verse 7, and we'll take it verse by verse. Verse 7 says, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? In this letter that Paul writes to the Galatians, in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 5, we see that Paul's concerned about two things. The first thing is about how someone's come into the church and shared teachings that aren't in line with what Jesus says. And then the second thing is how the Galatians may have forgotten about the abundance of the grace of God and how that means that their actions will never be good enough to make them right with God. As Aline kind of showed us a few weeks ago, the Galatians seem to have forgotten that their acceptance comes before their achievement, and that's something that Aline showed us a few weeks ago. Okay, pause. So I've talked about the Galatians, I've talked about Paul, but now it's time for us to examine ourselves. It's important to recognize that as followers of Jesus, we will face trials and temptations that can cause us to stop running with the purpose that James talked about in the first talk. One time that tested me was when I first went to uni. It was a time where the people I grew up with weren't around to watch what I was doing, and I had the freedom to do what I liked. The people I lived with weren't followers of Jesus. It was a challenge to go against culture, to continue to pursue Jesus, to continue running the race well. Please also note that Paul talks about running well, not running quickly. We all go through different seasons of life and have responsibilities that mean we aren't always able to run at the same pace. And that's okay. Please don't feel guilty about that. God is calling us to run well in the circumstance we're in, not to run at the same pace throughout our whole lives. As Rachel encouraged us in earlier, Jesus is the one we need to be going to, regardless of the season we find ourselves in, for strength to run well. It's certainly not nice and not easy either, but we need to ask ourselves the question Paul asks the people in Galatia here. What is holding us back from running well? What is getting in our way? The Galatians were affected by false teaching and lost sight of God's grace. We can easily be affected by the same thing, or by sin, disappointment, fear, comparing our races to the races that others are running. It could even be the things that God has blessed you with have caused you to lose sight of the one who has blessed you. I know that for me, in my life, trying to live to others' expectations instead of living to God's has held me back from running well. But as we look at verse 8, there is good news for us. Verse 8 says, "It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. But thanks to God, the things that can hold us back from running well are not as powerful as the victory and freedom Jesus won for us on the cross." Hallelujah. We celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago, but we can live with the benefits of Easter each and every single day, including today. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'll say it again. "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." The good news continues. So as we look at verse 8, we see that God has called us into freedom. His desire is for us to run freely. We've been born again to live in freedom through Christ. Jesus is the one who sets us free. This freedom is different to the one I experienced when I went to uni. This is a freedom where our past do not define our future. Because as Romans 8 tells us, the Spirit of God has freed us from the power of sin that leads to death. So to give a mini recap of what you've heard today, James talked about perseverance, Rachel talked about strength, and I've talked about freedom. Perseverance, strength, and freedom in the Christian life are all things that come from God to enable us to run the race with him. So I'll close by saying this. If you're not a follower of Jesus, he's calling you into freedom, and you can live in that from today. If you are a follower of Jesus and have already accepted the freedom that is available in him, then he's the one to go back to help you run freely. Your Heavenly Father is calling you with open arms. He wants to help you run freely. Let's run well together, church.